Welcome to A Contra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Contra AI. Today we're diving deep, really deep, into Ivan Turgenev's incredible novel, Fathers and Sons. And it's more than just a book, isn't it? It feels like a snapshot of 19th century Russia right at a breaking point.
Absolutely. Turgenev, he's such an interesting figure. You know, people often put him right there between Dostoevsky and Tolstoy, the giants, but his whole approach, it's quite different.
Yeah, radically different. Where Dostoevsky might delve into, say, the spiritual abyss or the existential dread, Turgenev steps back a bit. He looks at Bezrov, at all these conflicts, with his gentle, almost detached clarity. That lyrical style combined with sharp psychological insight, that's his mark.
And that detachment, or perhaps objectivity, was so important given when he wrote it, 1862.
Yeah.
That's barely a year after the serfs were emancipated. I mean, the ground was literally shifting under everyone's feet. Old Russia was cracking apart.
Right. So that generational clash he focuses on, it wasn't just, you know, dad likes classical music, I like rock and roll. It was fundamental, a real battle for what Russia was going to be.
Exactly. You've got the fathers, these liberal aristocrats from the 1840s. They loved Pushkin, talked about principles, maybe hoped for gradual change. And then, bam, you get the sons.
The radicals.
Yeah.
The 1860s intelligentsia.
Yeah.
Materialist scientists.
Mm-hmm.
Revolutionaries, really.
And right in the middle of this collision, you have Evgeny Buzarov. He's the one who basically put the word nihilist on the map.
Yeah, the man who rejects everything. Tradition, art, feeling, authority, all of it.
Mm.
If you can't prove it with science, it's worthless to him.
So the big question we're exploring today, I think, is whether that kind of philosophy, that total negation, can actually hold up against life itself. You know, things like love, family ties,
wow,
death. Can nihilism withstand that?
Let's dig in. Where does the story kick off?
Well, it starts with this feeling of nervous anticipation. Nikolai Kirsanov, he's the father, a gentle soul, waiting for his son Arkady to come home from university. Nikolai is very much a man of his time, the 1840s, loves poetry, plays the cello, he's trying to be modern, even lives openly with Fenichka, his peasant mistress.
He seems quite sympathetic, trying to bridge the gap already.
Yeah.
But Arkady doesn't come alone, does he?
No. He brings Bazarov, and Bazarov is just different. He's sharp, blunt, maybe a little crude by their standards, and he's a commoner. His presence at Mariino, the Kirsanov estate, which is lovely but kind of fading, is immediately unsettling.
And the friction starts almost right away, especially with Nikolai's brother, Pavel.
Pavel Kirsanov. He's the archetypal father, perfectly dressed, an Anglophile, obsessed with dignity, with principles. You get the sense his life sort of stalled after a failed romance years ago, so he clings fiercely to form, to elegance. He's the old aristocracy.
So you have Bazarov the son, dissecting frogs, probably making a mess.
Right, in the conservatory. While Pavel's talking about, I don't know, the importance of Western culture or proper manners, the clash is immediate and ideological.
And it's not just that Bazarov is radical. It's that his nihilism seems to offer, well, nothing to replace what it tears down. It's pure rejection.
Exactly. Pavel might defend beauty, tradition, manners. Bazarov just waves it away. Bourgeois sentimentality, he'd call it. He reduces everything to biology, to chemistry.
Which brings us to that famous line, the one that really sums it up. Bazarov's declaration.
Nature is not a temple, but a workshop, and man's the workman in it.
Boom. That just demolishes the whole romantic view, doesn't it? Nature, humanity itself, it's all just raw material for the scientist to work on. Utilitarianism to the extreme.
It's a powerful, even bracing statement. But Turgenev is too clever for simple manifestos. He immediately sets out to test this idea. Because ideology, you know, it works fine in theory, but life is messy.
And the messiest part is often the human heart. Which leads us to Anna Sergeyevna Odintsova.
Ah, yes, Anna. She's the real turning point. She's wealthy, beautiful, intelligent, but also contained. Emotionally self-possessed, she values her peace, her tranquility, more than anything. For Bazarov, she's the ultimate challenge because she represents something his science just can't quantify.
Right. She's not just a biological specimen or a set of principles. She's complex.
So they go to her estate, Nikolskoye. And this becomes the crucible for Bazarov, the man who laughs at romance, who thinks love is just physiology. He finds himself completely overwhelmed by this fierce, genuine passion for Anna. His whole system starts to crumble.
The confession scene. It's just brutal. He can't hold it in. He declares his love passionately, almost violently. And in doing so, he completely contradicts his own philosophy. He's feeling something irrational, something powerful.
But Anna, she's gentle but firm. She values her peace too much. She rejects him. And that rejection, it isn't just a blow to his ego. It's proof that his materialistic worldview is totally inadequate when faced with, well, with the mystery of human connection.
You really can't dissect love with a scalpel.
Exactly. And Turgenev brilliantly contrasts this with Arkady's path. Arkady, who started out as Bazarov's disciple, trying to be a little nihilist himself.
He starts to realize that's not him at all.
Right. He finds he wants something simpler. Happiness. Connection. And he finds it not with the formidable Anna, but with her younger sister, Katya. She's simpler, perhaps more grounded. They connect over music, nature, the very things Bazarov dismissed.
So Arkady chooses a different path. A path of continuity, maybe. Love, settling down. Mm-hmm. While Bazarov is left increasingly alone.
Yes, that isolation becomes really clear when he visits his parents.
Oh, that part is so affecting. His parents, Vasily and Irina, they absolutely adore him. Their love is simple, devout, almost overwhelming.
And Bazarov, this towering intellect, he just feels suffocated. He can't fit their uncomplicated, devout love into his scientific framework. It makes him deeply uncomfortable, and he leaves pretty quickly. It shows his inability to connect his ideas with basic human bonds, with that kind of fundamental warmth.
So he can dissect a frog, but he can't really handle his parents' love.
Pretty much. And when he goes back to Marino, the friendship with Arkady is basically over. The tension keeps building.
Yeah.
And it leads to that that truly bizarre climax, the duel.
The duel between Bazarov, the nihilist who rejects all tradition, and Pavel, the ultimate traditionalist.
Yeah.
It's almost comical if it weren't so tragic.
It is. Pavel feels his honor is slighted over Fenichka, Nikolai's mistress, whom Bazarov maybe flirted with slightly. It's complicated. But Bazarov, the anti-aristocrat, agrees to this completely outdated ritual, pistols at dawn.
The ultimate contradiction.
It's described almost as a tragic farce. Pavel gets a minor wound in the leg. And who treats him? Bazarov, using his medical skill.
All the irony.
Turgenev is just masterful there. It exposes the absurdity, the futility of both their rigid positions. They're fighting over shadows, really.
So Arkady has found his path. The duel highlights Bazarov's contradictions and isolation. His whole philosophical system is collapsing around him. And then comes the final blow.
The final devastating irony. Bazarov goes back to basics, trying to work as a simple country doctor, maybe trying to find some practical purpose. But while doing an autopsy on a typhus victim...
He cuts his finger.
Yes. The great scientist, the man who believed in mastering nature through method, is brought down by a tiny, invisible organism. Nature, the workshop, basically fires the workman. It's grotesque, really.
So looking at how Turgenev wraps this all up, he doesn't offer easy answers, but there's definitely a sense of resolution, albeit a sad one. Bazarov dies, yes, and he sticks to his guns intellectually, mostly.
Mostly. But the novel itself seems to affirm something else. It affirms the power of life's simpler, more enduring forces.
You see in the other characters, Arkady marries Katya. He becomes a country gentleman, finds happiness in family and managing the estate. Nikolai finally marries Fenichka, formalizing their love. There's a sense of continuity, of adaptation. Life finds a way, even if it's through compromise and evolution, not revolution.
Right. Gentle change wins out over radical destruction. And Bazarov's death scene itself is so telling. He sends for Anna, the woman whose love undid him. He even asks his father, in a moment of delirium perhaps, to pray. His nihilism offers no solace, no meaning at all when facing death. He needs connection, maybe even something spiritual, right at the very end.
It's striking how Turgenev manages this. He was an aristocrat himself, but he doesn't just side with the fathers. There's this deep melancholy, this understanding of the tragedy on both sides. He uses irony not just for humor, but to show that gap between our grand ideas and how we actually live. You mourn Bazarov's potential, even while seeing his path was self-destructive.
Definitely. And that final image, it's unforgettable. Bazarov's old parents weeping at his grave in the village churchyard. The narrator talks about the flowers growing there.
However passionate, sinful, and rebellious the heart hidden in the tomb, the flowers growing over it look at us serenely with their innocent eyes. They tell us not of eternal peace alone, of that great peace of indifferent nature. They tell us also of eternal reconciliation and of life without end.
That quiet image of enduring love, of the natural cycle continuing. That's Turgenev's quiet answer to Bazarov's loud nihilism.
So we're left with this complex thought, aren't we? That progress, change, it often comes with real tragedy, real loss. It makes you ask, what price should we pay for change? And what parts of the old ways, things like love, family, maybe even beauty, are actually essential, things we need to hold on to.
I think the novel suggests that this endless struggle between generations, it's not just about which set of ideas is right, it's really about the battle fought inside each human heart.
This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.